I want to talk a little bit this morning about faith. We're going to be looking at some things about faith and how that maybe they kind of go along with what was mentioned. In Luke 18, verse 8, the Lord is telling about a parable, how men ought to pray and not lose heart, saying there was in this certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. So this judge didn't care about God and didn't care about man, really. He was a judge, but he didn't care about them. And he tells us there that the Lord said, hear what the unjudged, in verse 6, moving on down to verse 6, we'll move along quickly in some of this. Hear what the unjust judge said, and shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on earth? And I want to think about this question a minute as to whether or not God will find faith. Will the Lord Jesus find faith when he returns? It's important to us as Christians to consider the things that were talked about this morning already, and also in regards to our faith in believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. And this question is will the Lord find faith when he comes again? And sometimes we might wonder about how small we are and how tiny we are as in relation to many giant congregations in the world and places where there are hundreds of people that meet together and they have great quantities of people. And we are so few in number, but I think sometimes we really need to examine and consider how important it is that our faith be strong and that we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and stand strong in him. In Romans, the 10th chapter, it says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10 and verse 16, have all obeyed the gospel? For he says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, or the gospel. And so as we consider this morning the idea about faith, we might turn to the one of the greatest chapters there are in the Bible. And I'm going to cut out quite a few things here, because if not, we're going to be here for a while. This is a bit of a long talk, and having to do with the assurance of faith and our idea that our faith makes us whole, and we realize that faith is hearing God's word and believing God's word. And so as we consider in chapter 11 of Hebrews, we're going to go through this chapter, and I know we've mentioned it and we've talked about it many, many times. However, I think it is some things that we can bring out that might be important to us this morning and help enlighten us. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it men of old gained approval. By faith we understood that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that when it is seen, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained the testimony that he was righteous, God testifying about his gifts through faith, and though he is dead, he still speaks. And we're looking at chapter 11 of Hebrews. Well, let's consider then what Abel and Cain's offering were, and sometimes it seems a little bit confusing there, because when you first go back to Genesis and you read the account, it doesn't really tell us what God had told them. However, the tiller of the ground was the corn and maize and wheat and all the good things that came from the ground. And so Cain was a tiller of the ground, and he had to bring of his best to God and give it to him. And Abel was of the flocks and had the lambs and the sheep and the goats and all the animals. Well, God had no respect, as it were, for Abel's or for Cain's offering. And so who knows what he brought? He just could have grabbed something that was full of worms or weeds or he just didn't bring what he should have. And yet Abel brought of the first fruit, of his best. And so Abel, we see there that it was a greater offering, and God honored what Abel had brought. But to Cain, he did not. And so we know the story there, how that Cain slew Abel. And then, of course, God put a mark on Cain for that. And then we move to Enoch. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God took him up, for he obtained the witness that before being taken up, he was pleasing to God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, or to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Now think of Enoch as he walked with God. And we're going to look at a couple others that walked with God. But Enoch was not because he was pleasing to God, and he walked with God because he had faith. He had faith. He believed. He believed in God with his whole heart. He believed in God with his life. He believed in God with his actions. And as we learned this morning about how we need to put our actions into effect, put our religion into action, if you will, and let it be true and real to us. By faith, Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world and became the heir of the righteousness, which is in accord to faith. So we know that Noah believed in what God said, that he's going to destroy the earth, and he's going to bring forth rain, and he's going to break up the ground from underneath, that the waters would come up, and the earth would be flooded. And before this, people didn't even know what rain was. And yet Noah had faith. And Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And Noah walked with God, it says. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive of an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. Think of Abraham, and think of yourselves. If God had told you, I want you to get up and get out of this place. Leave your father and your mother and leave your home and go to a place that I'll show you and I will bless you. And Abraham did it. By faith he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. For he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, even Sarah herself received ability to conceive even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful who had promised. And so you think of Sarah in her old age, and Abraham said to God, here I am 100 years old, am I going to have a child? And Sarah is 90 years old. Is she going to be able to bear a child? And she believed. She laughed, as the story tells us, because when the angel said that she would have a child, she laughed within herself. But she did believe, and she had faith that God would keep his promise that through Abraham all nations of the earth would be blessed. Therefore also there was born of one man, and him as good as dead, speaking of Abraham, and that as many descendants as the stars of heaven in the number and innumerable in the sand which is by the seashore. All these died in faith without receiving the promises, but having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a country of their own. And indeed, if they had been thinking of that country from which they went out, they would not have opportunity to return. But it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them, as he has for us. And God is not ashamed of us, though we be few in number. And though many times we wonder within ourselves, is the church declining? Is the church in a state of declining? Is faith growing weaker and weaker? Or are we growing stronger and stronger? So it behooves us, brothers and sisters, to teach our children, to instill within them the knowledge of God so that they can carry on the work of the church. And so that when Jesus comes, as he said, will he really find faith? Will there be faith when I return? The Lord asked that question. So it's so important to us fathers that we raise our children to be knowledgeable of God's word and to have that faith that we see in these people that we're talking about. Again, by faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And you know the story, as he took two servants and he took the donkeys and the wood, and Isaac, his only son that he had, finally had his son after all those years. And then God said, take him and offer him as a burnt offering. And so just as he was about to take the life of Isaac, the angel stayed his hand and said, do no harm to him. For now I know that you believe in me because you have not withheld your only son. What a beautiful story that is, and how eye-opening it is to us as Christians to think of not only Abraham offering his son, but it's in a likeness through Jesus being offered by God the Father. He considered that God is able to raise men even from the dead, from which he also received him back as a type. By faith, so you see, he thought to himself, though I take the life of my son, God will bring him back. Some way God will raise him back from death. And so he believed that. He believed that in his heart. And so I hope that we can this morning believe in our heart and have the faith that God wants us to have, that it will be strong, and that we will try to instill that faith within our children, within our loved ones, within our families, that we can serve God and serve God faithfully. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau, even regarding things to come. By faith, Jacob, as he was dying, blessed each one of his sons, Joseph, and worshiped, leaning on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the exodus of his sons, and gave orders concerning his bones. And if we turn with me to Genesis, the 50th chapter, we look at verse 19, Genesis 50 and 19. I want to look at this because we consider the idea of Joseph to Moses. And I want you to think about his time span here of nearly of 300 years. 300 years of time goes by between Joseph and Moses. And in verse 19, Joseph said to them, do not be afraid. talking to his brothers now, Joseph says, "Don't be afraid, for I am in the place of God. But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring it about, as it is this day, to save many people alive. Now, therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones, and be comforted. He comforted them and spoke kindly to them. So Joseph dwelt in Egypt and in his father's household, and Joseph lived 110 years. Joseph saw Ephraim's children to the third generation, the children of Machir, the son of Manasseh, were also brought up on Joseph's knees, and Joseph said to his brethren, "I am dying, but God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land." And this is where the faith comes here, because Joseph continued to have that faith his whole life, that God would take them out of that land and out of there and bring them back to the land of promise, the land of Canaan. Bring you out of this land to the land of which he swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Then Joseph took an oath from the children of Israel, saying, "God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from here." So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him and put him in a casket. But the idea is that Joseph had the faith and believed with his whole heart, even to his death, that God would take them away from Egypt, and he would take his bones and bury them in the land of Canaan. And then, of course, we know that Moses comes on the picture, but I wanted you to think about how sometimes possibly it is difficult to have faith as we should have. Because now if you think the end of Joseph in his death, and now there's going to be 300 years, over 300 years before the children of Israel will actually leave Egypt. Almost four centuries. And that's a long, long time. It's a long time for people to be beginning to wonder, is God ever going to come? Is God ever going to do anything? Or is it going to just remain the same? But trust in God as Joseph did. And surely as Joseph trusted in God, Moses did come, and Moses took the people out of Egypt. By faith, Moses, when he was born, hidden for 3 months by his parents, in verse 23 of chapter 11 of Hebrews. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents, because they saw he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. So we consider now the faith of Moses' parents. They thought he was a beautiful child. They put him in a basket and they floated him out, and they weren't afraid. They just trusted in God. And sure enough, life was preserved through the daughter of Pharaoh. And then when Moses grew up, he didn't want to be considered an Egyptian. He wanted to go back to his people. And then we know, of course, the story of how that Moses killed the Egyptian who was beating his people. And then on down it says, by faith he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who was unseen. And by faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, so that he who destroyed the firstborn might not touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as though they were passing through dry land, and the Egyptians, as they attempted it, were drowned. And we just see all of the powerful things of faith in this man's life and in the life of all of the patriarchs that we're reading about. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. And you think of the children of Israel, how that Joshua told them, that we're not going to go in there with swords. And God told them, you're going to do it my way. And so they walked around the city. They walked around it. And they blew their horns and they shouted and the walls fell down flat. So what an amazing boost of strength, of faith that they could have in seeing that. And I want to also consider part of the story, as you remember, as the children of Israel were about to cross the Jordan River and enter into the land of Canaan, and they were going to go on and fight at Jericho. God told them a specific command that they would stay back 2,000 cubits. 2,000 cubits back as the priest carried the tabernacle and into the edge of the water. And as soon as the water was touched by their feet, the water would run on down into the sea. But the water that was coming in and coming down the Jordan backed up, just heaped up into a big heap. Can you imagine what that must have looked like? And how that must have been to think that the children of Israel would all cross over, some probably 2 million people would cross over the river on dry land. But I bring that out to you because I think sometimes it's very important to us as Christians that we pay attention to detail. God told the people that they would stay back 2,000 cubits. That's what? Half a mile, a little less maybe. Think about that. If you get up too close, you're going to perish. You're going to die. God told them also at another time that if anyone was to touch the tabernacle that wasn't supposed to touch it, they would die. And you remember when the priest stumbled and it was about to fall over and I can't remember the man's name. I didn't look this one up. But he reached up to help hold the tabernacle, and he perished. He died. God wants us to pay attention to detail. And I think it's very critical as Christians to consider what God tells us in his word, and he tells us to be careful to listen to what he tells us. To detail. And so if the Lord asks us to use the fruit of the vine and bread on the table in remembrance of the Lord, then that's what we need to use. We don't need to use orange juice and something else. We need to use a fruit of the vine, which is a grape or something along that line, fruit of the vine, and bread, unleavened bread. It doesn't have the leaven in it. If we didn't care, and if God didn't care, then we could just have a big loaf of French bread up here or something. But that's not the case. And so it's so important that we think about detail. And as God's people, that we're careful how we handle his word and how we deal with our faith and how God wants us to be doing the things that he's asked us to do and not performing acts or performing things that he hasn't asked us to do. So it's a lot of times it's how implementation comes about within the church of God. And I know that we have different churches that have Sunday school and various things and music and pastor systems and all of the various things. Well, is God concerned about that? You answer that question for yourself. I'm pointing out to you how critical it was that God wanted them to stay back a certain distance from the ark. They didn't do that, they were going to die. So you can be the judge of how we need to answer the question, is God concerned about little details within our own congregation and within our faith? Because our faith is what we hope for. We hope that we're doing what God wants. We hope that we're being pleasing to God. That's what faith is. And then let's wind this up because I know it's late. And let's look at verse 32. Well, wait, I have to tell you one more story about Rahab. By faith, Rahab, the harlot, did not perish along with those who were disobedient after she welcomed the spies. And remember, Joshua sent the spies into the city of Jericho that he could spy out the city and see what all it was about. Well, they went to this house of this lady, and she hid them. And she said, "My life for yours, your life for mine." And so they said, they agreed. They would not destroy her because she helped them. And she let them down through a basket and let them get away. And of course, she didn't tell the truth to her people. She said that they went out the gate, and they didn't go out the gate. She hid them. She lied for them. She protected them. But she had faith. Why? Because the whole city was going to die. Everyone in the city was going to be killed. Their fathers, their mothers, their children, their animals, their donkeys, their dogs, everything. Joshua slew everything. And this woman believed that. She had faith enough to believe that God was going to do that. And so she helped the spies. And so it was, to her, a great thing. And that she welcomed the spies and helped them. And then, of course, they preserved her life. "And what more shall I say? For time will fail me. If I tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, and David, Samson, and the prophets, who by faith conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions." And we think of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, as they quenched the fires at the great fire that was built and walked right into it. And Daniel, as he was thrown into the den of lions, and just had faith because he believed in God, and the mouths of the lions were shut. But those that would later that were thrown into the lion's den, their bones, it says, were crushed before they even hit the ground. And those that would throw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the fire, they were consumed because the fire was so hot before they could even put them in the fire. "Quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, from weakness were made strong, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection, and others were tortured, not accepting their release in order that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others experienced mockings and scourging, yes, also chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were tempted, they were put to death with the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, ill-treated, men of whom the world was not worthy, wandering in deserts and mountains and caves and holes in the ground. And all these, having gained approval through their faith, did not receive what was promised, because God had provided something better for us, so that apart from us, they should not be made perfect." And in chapter 12, it says, "Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." There is a goal set before us. There's a challenge set before you and me, that we keep God's word, that we hold the faith, that we're strong in the faith, and that we're strong in the church, and that we keep our churches strong, that we keep the church pure. The church is the bride of Christ, and it's supposed to be without spot or blemish. And so let's fix our eyes on Jesus, as it says, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. That's our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He has sat down at the right hand of God, and that's whom we serve. a mighty and powerful God that did all the great things, that did all the things that we didn't even talk about in the case of Moses and all the miracles that Moses did, turning the blood, the water to blood, and the frogs and the flies and all the things that took place. And so how great, truly, as the scripture says, a cloud of witnesses that we have surrounding us who have faith and who had faith as our patriarchs and have passed away. So this is the message. I left out a few things that I wanted to say, but that's fine. I think we covered the bulk of it, and at this time we'll offer